This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Last night we completed Surah Taha, and in Surah Taha, there is a story which I'd like to talk about, and in it we learn the lesson of how it's very easy to slip up and fall into sins even as grave as shirk while being even in the presence of illustrious people like the Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam, the prophets themselves. And this is something that we should learn a lesson from, that we tend to have a logic, or we tend to try to work things out by ourselves to justify things that we do sometimes. And in doing so, when we don't have the right guidance, we tend to, instead of doing the right thing, we either end up in doing a bid'ah or innovation, or even go as far as to commit shirk. So this story is the story of Samiri, or As-Samiri, the person who misguided Bani Israel while Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was away. So the story is that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, this is after the Israelites escaped from Fir'aun. They were wandering around in the wilderness, and in the course of doing this, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was instructed to fast for 30 days. Then he added another 10 days, and he had a meeting scheduled with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he went for that meeting. In the meantime, behind him, a person who the Quran calls As-Samiri, and this probably was not his name, the indication is that As-Samiri, the Ya at the end, is called Ya al-Mansub or Ya al-Nisbah, and this is like a person saying Pakistani, Hindi. Okay, so he was from a place called As-Samir or Samir. He was from this place called Samir. His real name, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows what it was. There's a possibility that it was Harun, but why that was, inshallah, I'll discuss that in a minute. So this Samir, what he did, he created for the Bani Israel a cow which made a noise, which made a sound. And the Bani Israel, they started worshipping that cow. They started worshipping that cow while Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was away. This is the story of how it came about. So I'm going to do the translation of those verses, and as we go along, inshallah, I'll explain. So I will start with the ayah number 83, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, وَمَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى. O Musa, what made you rush in front of your people? So his people were left behind. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in eagerness to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and talk to him, he is running forward and he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Musa alayhi salam said, قَالَ هُمْ أُولَاءِ عَلَىٰ أَثَرِي وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. Musa alayhi salam said, they're following in my footsteps, they're coming up behind, and I rushed to you so that you could be pleased, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ فَإِنَّا قَدْ فَتَنَّا قَوْمَكَ مِنْ بَعْدِكَ وَأَضَلَّهُمُ السَّامِرِي. Indeed, we tested your people after you, and As-Samiri, he has misguided them. He has misguided them. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he returns back. فَرَجْعَ مُوسَى إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ وَضْبَانَ أَسِفًا. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam returned back to his people in the state of anger and in the state of sorrow, grief. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ أَلَمْ يَعِدْكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ وَعَدًا حَسَنًا. And he says to his people, that didn't your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give you a good promise? Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, up until now, he has been saving you. He saved you from Fir'aun, and you saw how he destroyed Fir'aun's army. And everything that has happened since you started following me has been in your favor. And now you turn around and do this completely against my teachings. أَفَطَالَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْعَهْدِ. Has the time become long upon you? Meaning that you saw with your own eyes how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed Fir'aun, a miracle, how the sea split, and the army of Fir'aun was drowned there. You saw with your own eyes the miracles that I've been performing in front of you. And it's not even been a long time. You saw this with your own eyes. You know, you could say that, okay, 200 years later, 300 years later, you forgot about my teachings. But these things happened in front of you, and the time has not even been that long. So how is it that you fell into this kind of misguidance? أَمْ أَرَدْتُمْ أَنْ يَحِلَّ عَلَيْكُمْ غَضَبٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُمْ مَوْعِدِي. Or was it simply that you wanted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be upset with you and angry with you, so therefore you broke my promise or went against my promise? قَالُوا مَا أَخْلَفْنَا مَوْعِدَكَ بِمَلْكِنَا وَلَكِنَّا حُمِّلْنَا أَوْزَارًا مِّنْ زِينَةِ الْقَوْمِ فَقَذَفْنَاهَا فَكَذَلِكَ أَلْقَى السَّامِرِي. And now this was the excuse that the Bani Israel gave to Musa alayhi salam. They said that we did not go against your promise with our own accord, but we were laden with the jewelry from the jewelry of the people, and we qadafnaha, meaning we threw it, we put it in one place. And similarly, Samiri did the same thing. The story behind this was that when the Israelites escaped from the clutches of Fir'aun, when they escaped from Egypt, they had taken with them all their jewelry. They brought it all, and now they were basically laden with it. It was heavy. So they decided that they're going to put it in one place, melt it, and then make gold and silver bars out of it, so it becomes easier for them to carry it. So similarly, Samiri did the same thing. He had his own jewelry, put it, and they melted it all. فَأَخْرَجَ لَهُمْ عِجْلًا جَسَدًا لَهُ خُوَارٍ. And Samiri, what he did, he, instead of making the jewelry into bars of gold and silver, he shaped the jewelry into the shape of a cow. And this cow had a noise. It made a noise. So what was this noise? Some scholars say that he, and I'll cover that in a minute, that there was a sound that came from it, that that statue actually made a sound. And others say, and this is the majority opinion, that the holes in this statue were such that when the wind blew through it, it made a sound like the sound of a cow. So the Israelites, they were fooled into thinking that it has some kind of life. And this was the only proof that they had. This was the only proof that they had that this is something worth worshipping. لَهُ خُوَار, that it made a sound. It made a sound, and that's it, we should worship it. فَقَالُوا, and when they heard this sound, they said, هَذَا إِلَهُكُمْ وَإِلَهُ مُوسَى فَنَسِي. This is your God, and this is also Musa's God, but Musa forgot. Musa forgot that this is his God. Allah says about this thinking of theirs, أَفَلَا يَرَوْنَا أَلَّا يَرْجِعُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَوْلًا. Do they not see that this statue cannot even respond back to them, cannot talk to them, وَلَا يَمْلِكُ لَهُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا, and does not have control on any harm or benefit? So the only logic that they had, the only argument that they could present was that it's making a sound, therefore it's worth worshipping. So the point that we can make is that sometimes we will justify an action of ours with a logic that we have in our mind, but that logic is against the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. Okay? We think that we have some logic behind it, we have a reasoning behind it, but if you ask a real knowledgeable person, he will tell you, no, this logic of yours is tainted. This logic is wrong. So then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Harun alayhi salam. Harun alayhi salam, he tried to prevent them from doing what they were doing. And this is against the teachings of what the Bible says. The Bible says that Harun actually encouraged them to make an altar for this cow and encouraged them to try to worship that cow. And the scholars think that there's a possibility that Harun was the name of a Samiri. And that Harun is what is meant in the Bible. However, as a prophet, Harun alayhi salatu wasalam could never dream of or could never imagine encouraging people to commit shirk. This is not something that a prophet, let alone a good Muslim, would do. So Harun alayhi salatu wasalam prevented them from doing that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him, وَلَقَدْ قَالَ لَهُمْ هَارُونُ مِنْ قَبْلُ يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّمَا فُتِنْتُمْ بِهِ. Indeed, Harun والسلام, said to them from before that, O my people, indeed you've been tested by this. This is a test for you. And to fall into the trap of the shaitan and to start worshipping this thing, you are failing this test miserably. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ الرَّحْمَنِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي وَأَطِيعُوا أَمْرِي. Your Lord is Ar-Rahman. He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So follow me and obey my command. You should listen to me. And what was their response? قَالُوا لَن نَبْرَحَ عَلَيْهِ عَاكِفِينَ حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ إِلَيْنَا مُوسَى. We're going to continuously make i'tikaf in front of this cow, meaning worship it, until Musa alayhi salatu wasalam comes back. The word عَاكِفِينَ, عَاكِفِين, it means to devote yourself to worship. And the word i'tikaf is from this. The root letter is the same. So we're going to stay devoted in worship to this cow until Musa alayhi salatu wasalam comes back. Now the next sentence, it talks about, it is the saying of Musa alayhi salam. And from this exchange between Musa alayhi salam and Harun, we can learn a huge and a beautiful lesson also. Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Harun, ma mana'aka idh ra'aytahum dhallu alla tattabi'an. Afa'asayta amri? O Harun, what prevented you when you saw them being misguided that you didn't follow me? Why didn't you come and tell me what's going on? Did you want to disobey my command? أَفَعَصَيْتَ أَمْرِي؟ قَالَ يَبْنَ لَا تَأْخُذْ بِلِحْيَتِي وَلَا بِرَاسِي. He said, O the son of my mother, meaning he's basically trying to get him to calm down. Hey, listen, we're blood brothers here. Calm down. I didn't mean to do anything wrong. I didn't go against your command. But لَا تَأْخُذْ بِلِحْيَتِي وَلَا بِرَأْسِي. Don't hold my beard nor my head. This could be literal or it could be figurative. It could be an expression that don't hold me accountable for this situation. إِنِّي خَشِيتُ أَن تَقُولَ فَرَّقْتَ بَيْنَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَمْ تَرْقُبْ قَوْلِي. I was under the impression, I was afraid that you're going to say that you made a split between Bani Israel and you didn't wait for me to come. You didn't wait for my command. So here we learn a lesson. Musa alayhi salam is a prophet. Harun alayhi salam is also a prophet. Both brothers. Both of them have an understanding that you should have done this. Harun alayhi salam says, Musa alayhi salam said, you should have done this. Harun said, well, if I had done that, I was thinking that this would have happened and there would have been a split amongst the group. So I thought it's best for me to stay here, wait for you to come back, and then resolve the situation after you came back. So the lesson we learn is that when this can happen between two prophets, a disagreement and, you know, differences of opinion, how could it not happen between two ordinary individuals? Okay? So in community, sometimes we have differences of opinion amongst people and differences of viewpoints. And the underlying thing should always be that each and every community member or shura member or leader of the community always has the objective of doing good for the community. That should always be the bottom line and the reasoning behind every person serving the community. In trying to pursue that goal or achieve that goal, there will always be differences of opinion, differences of viewpoint, but the underlying factors should always be the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we have differences of opinion, this should not be the cause of argument and fighting between us. Musa alayhi salam and Harun had a difference of opinion as to what should have been done. And they were prophets. They were prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. Did they want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Both of them did. Did they want to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, they didn't. How could they? They were prophets. So similarly, we learn from this that differences of opinion amongst people are not necessarily wrong. And if there are differences of opinion, we should try to work them out and understand that there always will be differences of viewpoint, we should try, despite those differences, to try to work with each other. So then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam turned to Samiri. And he said to him, مَا خَطْبُكَ يَا Samiri? What's your explanation, O Samiri? What is this situation that you've got the people into? So he said, بصرت بما لم يبصروا به فقبضت قبضة من أثر الرسول فنبذتها وكذلك سولت لي نفسي. So the translation, I'll explain it first and then translate it, probably makes it easier. That he said that I saw what other people could not see. I saw the messenger. And who is the messenger here? One opinion is that it's Jibreel alayhi salam. I saw Jibreel alayhi salam and I could see him and I could see where he could put his footsteps. And where he put his footsteps, I took the dust from that, or the soil which was there, and I put it inside the cow, and this is the thing that made the noise come. That's one opinion. And another opinion is that he was trying to, as the saying is, you know, he's trying to butter up Musa alayhi salam and try to soften his stance by saying good things about him. That, and the Rasul here is referring to Musa alayhi salam, that I followed the footsteps of the Prophet Musa alayhi salatu salam, and I took from the dust from his footsteps and I put it into the statue of the cow, and this is what made the sound. Okay, now the Quran doesn't say that this is actually what made the sound come. This, the Quran simply says that this was the explanation that Samiri gave to Musa alayhi salam, and it doesn't say that whether that was true or not. Simply the excuse that he presented. Okay, so as a criminal, as a person who's done wrong, he has a right to present his case. He presented it, and the Quran doesn't say either way whether he was telling the truth or not. So we can simply come to the conclusion that there was no magic dust, there was no magic soil, simply the fact that the cow, it had holes in strategic locations and the wind blew through them, it was just making that sound. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told him, فَذْهَبْ فَإِنَّ لَكَ فِي الْحَيَاةِ أَن تَقُولَ لَا مِسَاس. Go, because in your life, you're going to just tell people, لَا مِسَاس, don't touch me, don't touch me. So he was afflicted with a certain type of illness, maybe leprosy, in which he used to tell people, don't touch me, don't touch me. Either he became very sensitive to the touch, where somebody touched him and it hurt him, or it was a contagious disease that he was afflicted with, and nobody was allowed to get close to him because of that. وَإِنَّ لَكَ مَوْعِدًا لَن تُخْلَفَ. You have a promise or an appointment that will not be changed, meaning you'll have a certain amount of time in your life, after that you're going to leave this world. And then what was done to the statue. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ إِلَٰهِكَ الَّذِي ظَلْتَ عَلَيْهِ عَاكِفًا لَنُحَرِّقَنَّهُ ثُمَّ لَنَنْسِفَنَّهُ فِي الْيَمِّ نَسْفًا. The statue of yours, we're going to take it and we're going to burn it, and then the after effects of the statue being melted and burned, we're going to throw them into the sea. And this is exactly what happened. And then at the end, إِنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ وَسِعَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Indeed, your God is not this statue. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one worthy of worship except Him. And His ilm, His knowledge, is vast over everything. So basically the summary is that when it comes to the deen and the religion, we need to make sure that we are taking the religion from the right sources. And we are not taking it from somebody that claims to be religious, claims to be performing miracles, claims to be a person who is in touch with jinns or whatever certain people claim. Our source of religion should be the righteous guided scholars, the Quran and the Sunnah, and people that follow the Quran and the Sunnah as a proof in their lives. Other than that, if we try to take other people or other sources, there's a very high chance that we might be misguided, and we will use the simplest and the smallest of justifications to follow that misguided path, just like the Israelites did. Their proof was simply that the cow is making a sound, therefore it is worthy of worship. So these are the lessons we learn from this. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.